let's try to talk a little bit about Parshas Vayelech, and then we'll kind of play it by ear, see how much time we have. Vayelech has a lot in common with Nitzavim. Also has a first aliyah that is only three psukim. And again, I think we'll find what to talk about in these three psukim. But also, as we mentioned last week, there is a tradition, really, that Nitzavim and Vayelech are one parsha. So it's interesting that our practice is to split them in these situations. And we spoke a little bit last week about why that is. So just to add one more thought to that, the notion of Vayelech together with Nitzavim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe had a sicha about this, where he noted that maybe they're one parsha together, but they are essentially opposite terms. Nitzavim is to be standing up straight, and Vayelech is to be walking. They are essentially opposite ideas, and the truth is we come at it from a combination, that we believe that we have a fixed structure in which we bring our own personal activity and we move around. So this is true in all the areas, Torah, Avodah, and Kumus Chasadim. In the Torah, we have a fixed text, as the Torah Shebichsav, for sure, and we are working within that to bring our own personality. When it comes to Avodah, in the sense of Tefillah, so we have set texts for Tefillah, and yet Chazal tell us also that we have to be Mechadish within our Tefillah. And when it comes to mitzvos, and Gemilas Chasadim, and mitzvos in general, so there also we have mitzvos that have their parameters, and yet we're also told to go Lifnim Mishur Sadin, and to be involved in Hidr Mitzvah, and to go above and beyond. In all of these areas we have a framework such as that. I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but or if you were here for the first night of Slichus, but President Berman gave a very beautiful drasha, which you could listen to on YU Torah, and he quoted there a point that Rav Schechter often quotes this Mahalach also. He presented a little bit differently, that when it comes to a Sefer Torah, if you had ink that was not acceptable for a Sefer Torah, and you were to write letters just to fill in on top of that ink, it wouldn't be kosher, even though by Shabbos such writing would be called ksiva. So is it ksiva or is it not ksiva? Why should it be a problem? So he quoted from Rav Soloveitchik the idea that a Sefer Torah has to be written in the human being's unique handwriting. So apparently just to trace over letters that are already there would not count as your unique handwriting. And he highlighted that mix also, that there you have the fixed and unchangeable text of the Torah, and yet we bring our individualized personality into it. So it's a somewhat compatible idea with what the Lubavitcher Rebbe was saying here also. We love Nitzavim Vayelech structure. And we find that again and again. So what exactly Vayelech means is actually subject of a lot of discussion. In the name of the parsha, to convey the sense of walking, so it begins Vayelech Moshe, Vayedaber Sadvar Ha'ele El Kol Yisrael. So Vayelech, where was he going? Where is he walking to? So the Kli Yakar comments over here that the Torah doesn't say where he was going to, because the halicha itself is the thing. The fact that he was walking, he was showing that he was capable of walking. Even though he's going to say the next pasuk, "Va'uchalol latzeis v'lavo," that's because that was Hashem's direction, but he was capable of walking around. And Shamshon Fal Hirsch notes that here he was doing so as an expression of humility, that he still had certain tasks to accomplish on his last day of his life that involved interacting with the people. But normally, when he was conveying the word of God, so he would call all the people to him. But here, it's not the function, so because he is humble, so he is walking to them. So that's what the pasuk is highlighting. Rav Moshe Feinstein, as Doris Moshe, suggests that the connotation is that it's to say, like, he walked away, because his tafkid, still not done, he's still not able to bring them actually into Eretz Yisrael, and he still has the koach to do it, but Hashem is not allowing it, so he's either walking away. He also suggests, alternatively, that the halicha is meant to convey that the Jews felt his loss, that he was walking away from them, because there's no one else like him. So they felt the halicha. The Targum Yonason over here understands the halicha as the halicha to the Beis Medrash, the halicha to learn. Some suggest, in the Sefer Leiv Simcha, he writes that this is because of the idea of Rashi over here, that Rashi says that he was all of a sudden cut off from the ability to be mechadish and learning, and to get new traditions and learning. Rashi in the next pasuk has that idea, so he wanted to restart, he wanted to go back to the Beis Medrash. But in the Sefer Nachlas Yaakov Yoshua, it's quoted in the Paris Yosef HaChadosh, he quotes a lot of these interpretations of what this purpose is that since he was separating from the Shvatim, so he wanted to be Niftar Mitoch Divrei Torah. It's an idea that we have in general, that when somebody separates from someone, he should be Niftar Mitoch Divrei Torah, that he should leave in the context of Divrei Torah. The very idea, we say Niftar, a person left, but really the Shoresh is Potter, to be exempt. Simchas Lebroid in the Sefer has a whole discussion about this, about how when you're part of a chabura, when you're part of a crowd, so you have an obligation to that group. And when you are departing from them, so then you inform them, and you take reshus, and you separate in a conscious way. So that's the usage of pater, to say niftar, a person leaves through a sense of seeking permission. Remember, the Rishi of Karen Biav used to emphasize that when people are in close proximity, so you have a chavrusa, right? So you have to tell your chavrusa if you're not going to show up. You have a chiyuv towards the chavrusa. But if you haven't been in contact, so then you don't have to ask rishos. So the idea of miftar means a person becomes pater from having to inform the other what he's doing, from having to stay in contact. So in any event, there is this other connotation of walking around. The Moshe of Zakenim quotes from the Medrash Agada that he went around to the mountains and to the valleys in order to ask them for Achmanas. And Moshe of Zakenim also quotes, and the other Rishonim have also, the Ramban and the Chizkuni has, that he went to the Shvatim for the purpose of being Mechazik them. And we'll say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Paris Yosef also quotes from Rav Menashe Klein that he was perhaps afraid that if he's going to disappear, so then the last time that happened, that didn't work out very well. He had the Egel Hazav, so he wanted to explain to the Shvatim what was going to happen, so we shouldn't have another crisis of that sort. Now, the Tanchuma has an interpretation of Vayelech that it represents as Tochas Musar. Paris Yosef quotes that as well. Paris Yosef has many, many pages on these three psukim that we're talking about today. He goes on for a very long time. So he quotes this idea that some kind of musar is involved, and he writes that the fact that he was mochel on his kavod and he was going to talk to them, so that kind of modeling, that's the biggest musar. That's a huge musar shmuz. And the Shem Shmuel comments along those lines that this halicha, therefore, is really a spiritual one, spiritual halicha. And if he wasn't going to go down to their level, if he wasn't going to try to connect with them where they're at, so he wouldn't be able to give them musar, he wouldn't be able to give them tochcha. So, therefore, the halicha is meant to suggest he walked among them, he brought himself into their level so that he could issue this kind of message. And the Sefer Yunam Beparsha of Avraham Heschel Reisman, he notes that this Musar is Davka now, because until now he could be the one to lift them up, but now that he was no longer functioning on that level, didn't have that mission, so now he has to go down to where they are. And the Shem Shmuel, to go back to him for a second, he says that therefore halichos in this context, Talicha Vayelech has a connotation of moving madregas from one level to the next, and therefore he understands that's why this is really the appropriate Kriyas HaTorah for Shabbos Shuvah, because it's all about moving, it's all about connecting. Rav Heschel Weizmann has a whole discussion about this, about the difference between Shuva and Tshuva, that Shuva has a connotation of fixing what was missing, going back to where you were, and Tshuva is a more positive moving, he suggests. I don't know exactly how to explain the distinction, but he notes that this whole idea of being able to move madregas, so Moshe was conveying that message to them, and that this is very much the mentality that we want to have as we go into Shabbos Shuvah, as we go towards Yom Kippur. The Kadosh Baruch Hu Rav has a whole drasha about this also, when he talks about that Ibn Ezra and Shmos and Parachaf asks, why do we say that Hashem is the Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim? Why don't we say that He's the one who created the earth? He's the one who created the world. So he explains the point is trying to say that Hashem is the one who gives you the power to move. Hashem moves you around, just like we find in Mitzrayim. He moved us up the Madrega, so too. That's the message here also. You have the ability to move, you have the ability to walk. And that's a key Yom Kippur expression. Okay, so the next pasuk tells you, Vayomer Alehem, he says to them, Ben Meyav Eshem Shana Anochi Hayom, Lo Uchalo, Lo Tseis Vlavo, V'Hashem Amar Elai, Lo Savor, Eseyer Dein Hazeh. So he tells them the very sad message that he is not able to move around anymore, even though he seems to be physically capable, but he's 120 years old, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu has told him that he's not going to cross over. He's not going to make it in. The idea of him being 120 years, specifically, so there's apparently some symbolism there. Many Sfarim talk about what the symbolism is. Rabbeinu Bachi writes that this is connected to the 120 days that he was up in the mountain. Yismach Moshe understands that there's a symbolism here that Moshe is like the Truma of the world. We say Truma is 2%, and the world is 6,000 years, so then 2% of that is 120 years. So it represents that which uplifts the world and is dedicated. It's an interesting idea. The Laharis Nassen notes that it comes to 10 years for every Shevet, and it represents 5 years to learn and 5 years to teach. And that each Shevet has its own Bechina, has its own aspect, not here in the sense of midterms, but its own aspect in Torah, along the lines of what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal, that each Shevet has its own Shire as far as Tefillah is concerned. So too, they have their own approach to the Torah. So he says, that's Pshat in the Medrash, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Torahs on the day that he died. One for each Shevet, and one that was kept in the Aron to be the master copy, to prevent any ziyuf. So Laharis Nassen writes that each Sefer Torah emphasized the Bechina of that particular, or was dedicated to the Bechina of that particular Shevet. So he had to write one special for each one, and he kept one in the Aron as the standard. Okay. But this idea that he was 120, he was 120, and he died on his birthday. That's the tradition that we have. And the Gemara Masechet Sota and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis tells us that this is a tradition that we have, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Memale Shnoseihim Shel Tzadikim, that he completes the days and the years of Tzadikim. Pashtus, that idea is kind of like a heavenly Haskama, that when you note the, so to speak, coincidence of such things. So it's a way of God giving his hint of an endorsement. Somebody told me once, I wasn't able to find this, but someone told me that the columnist George Will had a column about the fact that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on the same day, and it was the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. They both died on July 4th, 1826. How could it be that that would happen so precisely? That was God's way of showing that he approved. So I was never able to find that column inside, but the point seems to be that when you see something like that, such a extraordinary, seems to be a coincidence, it's a way of saying that there's a heavenly approval. So Moshe lives to be 120 years exactly. Medrash says actually that there were four who lived to be 120. Moshe and Hillel and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and also Rabbi Akiva. And Lul Haris Nosson comments on that Medrash that all of them had an aspect of Moshe because Moshe was Moshe and Hillel had the Midah of Anivos like Moshe. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saved the Torah. And Rabbi Akiva was the Baal HaMasorah. And the Gemara in Maseches Menachos and Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis specifically connects Moshe and Rabbi Akiva as the Baal HaMasorah. You know, the Gemara there says that Moshe was given a vision into Rabbi Akiva's shir, and he had a Chalisha Sadas because he couldn't follow it. Until one of the Talmidim asked Rabbi Akiva, "What's your source?" And he said, "Halach LaMoshe Nisinei." And that restored his Yishuv Hadas. So we have this idea that Rabbi Akiva represents the Moshe, in a sense, in the later generations as far as the Baal HaMasorah. So it seems to be a theme, 120 years for Moshe and for Hillel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Akiva, all of them had some component of a Moshe-like element, even though we say, Lokom Kamoshe, Moshe was unique. But there were aspects of Moshe that they all represented that are conveyed through that connection. The Ramban, as we alluded to before, the Ramban said that he was saying, look at me, I'm 120. It's a part of his effort to comfort the Jews. He was worried about how the Jews were going to react to his passing on. So he's saying, look, I'm already 120. This is the Ramban specifically, but a number of Rishonim have this idea that he was saying, all right, I'm already 120, I'm ready to move on, and you'll have good leadership without me. The Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman in a Sefer Shari Ora, so he notes that, you see, this is pretty amazing, the selflessness. Here, this is the last day of his life, and Moshe Rabbeinu's priority is to comfort the Jews, not to worry necessarily about how he feels about it, but prioritize that they should be in a good place. And he suggests that Moshe has here a parallel to the Torah itself, that Chazal tell us that the Torah begins and ends with Derech Eretz, begins and ends with Chesed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of Adam and Chava in the beginning of the Torah, and he takes care of bearing Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah. So too Moshe Rabbeinu, his career begins and ends with Derech Eretz, that when he was appointed and he resisted, so we see that he was worried about Aaron's covet and Aaron's kpedas, and now he's worried about Klal Yisrael, that the Derech Eretz and the selflessness that he represents. You see the beginning and the end, that seems to be the message of Moshe Rabbeinu. We'll just note for a Yontif theme, we probably won't have another opportunity to talk about this, so I'll just mention that in terms of the idea of a continuity from Moshe, and despite the fact that we do say Moshe was unique and he'll never be matched, but it's also important to be able to have confidence in the next level of leadership and to recognize that the model of Moshe continues, even if Moshe himself was unparalleled. So there is a big machlokas about how to relate to the last few psukim in the Torah, and for purposes of time, we won't go through all of them, but the Gemara suggests that after Moshe died, and it's what the Pasuk tells us, and there's eight more psukim for the rest of the Chumash after that, so the Gemara has a discussion, how could that be? And the Gemara says either that Moshe wrote those psukim b'dema, which sounds like it means he was crying, he wrote them Baruch HaKodesh, and he was crying, or it sounds, others understand it differently, again, it's a much longer discussion. And the other possibility is that actually last day psukim of the Torah was Yehoshua. So the Gemara says one way or another, last day psukim are different, and Yochid Kari Osam. So it's a whole discussion what that means, at least five or six views in the Rishonim, what that means to say Yochid Kari Osam. But the one that's actually closest to what we do Halacha L'maisa is the view of the Mordechai, that Yochid Kari Osam, that it should be a distinct individual who gets that aliyah. That's the, perhaps the mucker for the idea of Chasin Torah, that last aliyah goes to Talmud Chacham, is based on that phrase that the Mordechai has in interpreting this phrase from the Gemara of Yachid Kari Osam. So the Chacham Svi asks, it doesn't make sense that last aliyah seems to be the least chashuv aliyah in the Torah if it was not written directly by Moshe or not written by Moshe in a normal way. So why should this be a chashuv aliyah? It should be the least chashuv aliyah. And the Kli Chemda has a whole word about this where he explains that that's the point, that Moshe is passing away here and we're afraid that people are going to have a chalisha sadas, that people are going to think that there's no more leadership. There isn't any continuity to the message of Moshe. So we want to emphasize that it's not true, that there is leadership that continues to follow the path of Moshe. It's not going to be on the madrega of Moshe. But Moshe's message continues, and that's what we're trying to convey with the Chasin Torah. And that's also a part of what he's saying to them. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. You're still going to have leadership, and I'm ready to move on. And shouldn't have a Chalisha Sadas. And the Sefer Lev Avram, Avram Weinfeld, so he has maybe a little somewhat more negative take on the message here, that, or a little bit of a more scary take, that Moshe was trying to convey to the people that here, I'm telling you, I'm not allowed to go in, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared on me that I can't go in, that he wanted them to understand the price of an Avera, that you see that here he did something wrong, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu declared there's going to be a penalty. And this is true, despite the fact that he's clearly a tzaddik, he lived 120 years exactly, and it's not like there's anything that we have to worry about, that going into Eretz Yisrael is going to lead him on any kind of a negative path. The only reason he's not going in is because that was the punishment that the Kadosh Baruch Hu declared for him, and that they should get the message of how important it is not to sin, not to end up in a situation like that where there is a price to pay. It's more of a scary kind of message. But in any event, so the idea of lo chal atzeis v'lavo, so they can't go back in, I can't go out. So here it sounds like he's saying that even though the Torah tells us in the very end that he was stark until the last minute, that he didn't deteriorate at all. But it sounds like he's saying here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared. So that's the story. So despite the fact that he's capable, but he's not going to be allowed to go in, to go out. Rav Hirsch suggests that the fact that the Torah was made, that he was bekocho, that he was strong until the very end, that was because when he was doing God's mission, so he always had that siyat d'shmaya, but outside of that context, so then he has the normal human weakness, and that's what he's referring to. But okay, in any event, the next pasuk, the last pasuk of this first aliyah, continues to says, Hashem Elokecha, Hu Over Lefanecha, Hu Yashmid Esagayim Ha'elam Lefanecha, V'yishtam, Yoshua Hu Over Lefanecha, Kasher Diber Hashem. So here he's saying that God is going to take you through, and Yehoshua is going to end up leading you. And here you see that it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's leadership with his appointment of Yehoshua. The idea of Hu Over, the Netziv has a comment over here that there's many differences, many different languages of Hashgacha in the Parsha, and that Over here can mean with, it can also mean before. The Gemara Pesachim talks about that. Mitzvahs over las yasan, over means before, it also means with. So here Hashem is saying that, here Moshe is conveying that Hashem is going to be in front of you and Hashem is going to be with you. He's going to lead you and he's going to be with you in your actions. And the Maram Shuk has a comment over here that it's always better to have bitachon, and the whole avera of the Mei Meriva was that the Jews thought that Moshe's chus was everything, and that when he called them morim, so he reinforced that picture, and they weren't able to perceive that it is Hashem who's really helping them. So here Moshe wants to leave them with a message to understand that ultimately it is the Bitachon and Hashem, but he also has his human emissaries who will carry out this message, and therefore Yehoshua is going to be given this role, and that's together what we said before, the message of Chasson Torah, that we should believe that we have this continuity, La'alman Yisrael, that we are not bereft, we are not orphaned, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was unique, but he leaves us with a Masorah, that it's the job of our leadership and the job of everyone to hold on to and to make sure that that continues. Okay, so we'll end with that. I'll just emphasize before Yom Kippur, we should remember that we have many mitzvos. We have to do tshuva, and we'll speak about this also over the course of the Yomiyin. I have a lot of opportunities to hear a lot of shirim about this, but you should just remember that the main obligation is to do tshuva in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and tshuva also in front of those who we have hurt. And as important as all the many mitzvahs of Tishrei are, it's this mitzvah of asking for mechila, this obligation of asking for mechila, that the Mishnah says that if we don't do that, we're missing the whole boat. That Yom Kippur is not going to be mechaper, and the Vilna Gaon and others understood that it doesn't just mean that the Averis ben Adam l'chaver are not going to get a kapar, but the Averis ben Adam l'makom are also not going to get a kapar, that we see that mechila is crucial to the effectiveness of Yom Kippur all around. And this highlights the fact that there are a number of elements to asking for mechila. We have to ask for mechila in order that any charges against us should be dropped, if anybody has a claim against us for anything that we did wrong. But also beyond that, it's a part of the tshuva process. And some understand it's a part of the tshuva process because it involves going against the midos that took us astray in the first place. The idea of rectifying whatever attitude led us to mistreat someone else. Now we have to worry very much about where they're at and what they care about. And also because if there is a rift, if there is a division among people, as we saw last week, the importance of Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, that we need to have the sense of Achdus and the sense of unity among the Jewish people in order for Yom Kippur to be Mechaper. So this is a very high priority that over the next few days I have to rectify whatever problems have been caused amongst us, among our chaver, amongst our family members, amongst whoever we interact with. And we want to make sure that everybody recognizes how much we care about them, how much we regret any type of disrespect or any type of hurt that we've caused. And hopefully through addressing that, we should have a successful Yom Kippur and a successful season. All right, and that should be a successful Shabbat Shuva. A source of inspiration and bracha for all of us. Okay.